Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime.
Just download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Save WEEI's a favorite and listen wherever you go.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI.
Our goal is to win, for Christ's sakes. And you keep talking about the CBT. You keep talking about prospects and your long-term goal. Like, you just basically told us we ain't good enough. We suck. You let us down.
Angry Lou. Angry Lou.
A hole the size of I don't even know what in that bullpen. Keep playing like dog.
Recall my manager, Lou.
Go get me a goddamn first baseman. That's what I want. I don't want an outfielder D8. I need a first baseman.
Okay, Lou, I'll ask you something.
What? How do you go into the season without a closer? How do you not address the closer situation?
Lou, what's up, dog?
Good, how are you doing? Good.
Well, it's always great to have you here, Lou.
I feel like what now it should be, why the hell do we have a closer? You don't need to address the closer situation.
I was just thinking the same thing. It's like, what he really should say is, give me a goddamn shortstop.
Yeah, now it's Oppo Lou, non-error Lou Maloney with us on the Harbor One Hotline. Lou's brought to us by Shaw's and Star Market, where you can win free groceries in their Grand Slam Summer Sweepstakes. Lou is with us on the Harbor One Hotline, and I'm assuming that crusty, old, hardo Lou Maloney is really struggling with this bad defense. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right. You're right. Because, you know, ground balls need to be outs. Double plays need to be turned. And we're seeing what happens when they don't. We saw earlier in the season what happens when they do. So it's to your point, it's like I could sit there and scream and yell and be all upset about guys that, you know, aren't big league players, you know, that aren't defensively aren't everyday guys not making plays, but I'm not even blaming them. It's not their fault. I remember when I struggled at times, Grady Little would look at me when I was, you know, upset, whatever, and say, Lou, it's not your fault. It's a scout that signs your fault. And it was like,
how long did it take you to figure out that you got it?
Blame Heim.
Yeah. Like, it was a funny line, but that's the reality of it. It's not David Hamilton's fault. He's not an everyday shortstop. He's just not, you know, and they're forced and they're putting him there, and because there's some metrics that say that he is, but it's not his fault that Manuel Valdez doesn't have any range. He just does it. It's, you know, maybe should have found somebody defensively to kind of sit in, you know, to get some depth in case something did happen that could actually catch a ball consistently.
Yeah, and I think do you get a sense that most fans are kind of realizing that also, so there's not as much, you know, I guess anger from the fan base, or do you see it differently?
I think the anger is still like directed at the roster building, right? I mean, that's what, you know, it's looking to the off season. It's like, okay, well, you're not going to sign stars. If you're not going to sign stars, you got to at least sign depth, right? Like, you look at that Cleveland team that they just played, and we'll play them here in this trip. It's like there's a bunch of young athletes there defensively. They're outstanding. So they may not be great offensive players, and you pay for offense. You don't pay for defense. But, you know, so you don't want to spend money on offense. I get it. To get a corner infielder with a right-handed bat, fine. We'll find some people that can, you know, catch the baseball and at least give yourself a chance if you can play defense. But if you can't play defense in this league, as we've seen the last 10 games, you really can't be successful.
I'm assuming you saw this tweet. It was going around about the lineup and then the salaries attached to the lineup that was yesterday. How telling is that? When you see a tweet like that, like the lineup was out of all the guys that were starting, it didn't equal $9 million.
Yeah, just under $9 million, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it is. It's kind of like the state of where they are. I mean, when the season started, we said this team is really, really thin. And since then, they've lost Giolito, Pavetta, and Whitlock. And this lineup, you know, can it go? Yeah, it can be a pretty good lineup, but it can't be without Devers, Story, and O'Neill. and what's left is what's left. I mean, that's just like the reality of it. And you're forced to kind of play guys, and you give Yoshida a second day off in a row as a designated hitter, maybe to clear his head. Who knows? We'll see if it pays off. But that's what you're left with, you know. And like I said, it's kind of like at the end, you know, just the you're admitting that this is kind of who you are. And what am I going to do, lose sleep over it? Like, just roll the kids out there and see if they can play better baseball. When they catch the ball, they win. When they don't make errors, they win.
That sounds pretty simple.
Yeah, Lou, it does sound simple, but we know that there are human beings involved. How difficult is it going to be for Alex Cora, the pitching coaches, Andrew Bailey, people like that, to sort of keep the pitchers' heads on straight if the errors become an epidemic with this team, which it looks like it's going to be all year long?
Yeah, until they find some answers. I mean, all you can do is go out and do your job. I mean, we see it right now. The Red Sox lead the majors in team ERA. They also lead the majors in giving up unearned runs. So the pitchers can basically sit there and say, we're doing our job. Like, I'm doing my job. I have bases loaded, one out. I got a ground ball to third base that was flipped to second, that a changeup was thrown from second to first, and the arms just aren't there enough to turn it and get out of that inning. And, you know, what can I do? So you just have to kind of bear with it, continue to do your job and try to improve yourself. And, you know, hopefully if it's – I don't think this is going to be the long-term answer at shortstop. I think there's changes to be made. Rafael will be at short, in my opinion, if O'Neill never got hurt. I think Romy Gonzalez comes back. I think he takes a spot. I think a kid like Eddie Alvarez down at AAA comes up. He takes a spot. Maybe even Nick Sogard takes a spot. You need a line shift. You need some new bodies to see if, you know, we get three or four other guys that can catch the baseball.
Is it too early to panic? Like, if you're Cora, are you just kind of at the same stage you were at last week at acceptance?
Yeah, there's not going to be any panic. Like, panic what? That they're not going to win the World Series now because of the injuries? Like, that.
Well,
like,
no. I would say panic is like, hey, I would at least think, hey, we'll be competitive, you know, at the trade deadline. I mean, that's what I'm talking. If you're talking about where I thought his goal was, Cora's goal was like, listen, I want to be competitive and be at least part of the conversation.
Yeah, and sometimes what you want and what you are, maybe sometimes the two different things based on what you're left with. And I think that's kind of, you know, this whole thing about like Cora being in a good place mentally, physically, everything else, I think it's just an admission that this is who I have on my team. And if I'm forced to play these guys at short and he can't make plays, this, what else can I do? This is all I've been given. So, you know, it's like this acceptance of I can't lose sleep over it. Like, I think that was him last year, wanting more, wanting help, not getting more, and just sort of sitting back going, okay, I'm not going to let that beat me up this year. Like, if David Hamilton and Emmanuel Valdez, you know, doesn't have much range and Reyes doesn't play a good third base, like, what, you going to get mad at that? Or are you going to just sit there and go, yeah, because they're not good. So, it, you know, I'll keep working with them. I keep trying to get them to improve. We'll continue to work. We'll continue to try. The effort's going to be there. But in the end, if we don't win games because of it, what am I going to do? Go home, beat myself up over it? We'll just continue to try to teach and get better.
Blue, how much of the defensive issues come down to just lack of execution and in some instances, lack of communication? Is communication a problem amongst those guys in the infield? And I know I'm looking at the whole Tyler O'Neill thing as really, you know, a shining example, but is communication a problem?
I just think lack of experience and talent is a bigger problem, you know. And like O'Neill endeavors. O'Neill's been out in right field all year long for the most part, you know, and I don't even know if he's had a start in left field, but first time he's out there, two guys trying to make a play, going at it hard, and just, you know, haven't really played much together with him, a guy behind him like that. I don't, you know, it's just miscommunication, but I feel like a lot of it is, and you get this with young players that aren't defensive minded players. When they get in the field defensively, there's some panic, you know, there's some, you know, lack of confidence, lack of experience. And I think that's kind of, you know, the reality of where you are. Now, you wait that thing out and hope the game slows them down. You can. Or you can try some other bodies and see if they, you know, get off to a good start. Who knows?
Yeah, so I was watching the post game on Nesson, and you know, Tom Caron was talking about they were trying to just figure out what the problem was, and he brought up the idea of that no minor league baseball in 2020, and that's why there's like this you know, talent void with some of these guys that are now forced to play. How do you feel? Do you agree on that or what?
I don't think 2020. is the bigger reason. I feel like these guys race through the minor leagues, and let's face it, youth baseball, if anyone's familiar with it, there's zero fundamentals really being taught. It's all about how hard and how far you can throw the ball and everything else and how fast you can run and all this other crap. So, you know, we can sit there and talk about the fundamentals that this team doesn't do well running the bases and just knowing situational baseball, and we can blame it on coaching staffs. But the reality is, it's like they're racing through the minors. Those are things we were taught when we were spending 4 or 5 years in the minor leagues. Now they're up in a year and a half because they can hit and they can control the strike zone. But they don't know how to run the bases. Like the other day, like Willy Abreu running into that out at third base. It's like, you know, of course, teams don't have any fundamentals. Well, they got young players that don't know how to play the game. And yep. The only way you can learn how to do that is through experience. That experience used to be in AA and AAA.
I know, but
for two,
I mean,
3 years.
But
now
okay.
They got like 50 at bats and they're in the big leagues.
I get that aspect, but there are some basic fundamentals that I would assume, just as a non-seamhead guy, that these professional baseball players would generally understand. And that doesn't seem to be the case. So it is just technically the players. It's the player, it's just a dumb player.
Like for example, I'll tell you, like a hitting program, right? Kid gets into the minor leagues, and they spend so much time on exit velocity and bat speed, and they use these heavy bats and these light bats and all these driveline things and all this stuff to get to the proper swing decisions and all these metrics they need to hit. When they get to the big league hitting coach is like, yeah, dude, you should come here as a finished product. I don't need to work on you with strength and everything else. You're in the big leagues now. You're here for a reason. Now we're going to talk about strategy and how people are attacking you. And then if you relate that to other parts of the game, like defense and running the bases, that's not the case. Like all of a sudden now the guy gets to the big leagues and he doesn't know how to run the bases. The guy gets to the big leagues and he doesn't know whether to throw to second base with one out or not. You know, and a guy on first. You know, and it's running to an out at third base with two outs. Like they get there and they're like, why am I coaching this at this big league level? And it's going on everywhere in baseball.
Lou, it feels like, and I mentioned this earlier, how in the NFL we will hear people flippantly throw out modern offense, right? What the hell is modern offense? It feels like for a period of time in baseball, the only thing we cared about was how far can you hit it and how hard can you throw it. And now other parts of the game, like base running and defense, is being exposed. Did baseball lose their way and put themselves into this situation across the game, or is this just a bad job by the Red Sox and their minor league organization getting these guys ready to go to at least know what base they're throwing to?
Yeah, and I think that whole span of home runs, I think that was kind of like when the shift really took over. It's probably thinking more of like a 4, 5, 6 year span.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some of those kids in the big leagues now, that's like their time in the minor leagues where, you know, as a second baseman, you can play shallow right field. So how much double plays are we really turning, you know, during that style of baseball? Balls are hitting in the air. But, you know, I just think it's an issue all around the game, fundamentals. If you talk to college coaches, they're teaching fundamentals more than they ever have 15, 20 years ago. The kids usually come there knowing how to play. A-ball managers, double-A managers are amazed at how much these kids don't know how to run the bases, don't know where to throw the baseball, just none of it. And it's an ongoing problem that, quite frankly, in the big leagues, you should not have to be coaching.
Lou, I know that our mutual friend Christian Fourier, when you are – because you are on the road with the Red Sox, correct?
Si, senor.
Okay. Now, I know that your buddy Fourier will send you on wild goose chases for food in certain cities that he knows, right?
Yeah, and they always closed. Yeah, go ahead.
And I know that you know I grew up until 15 years old. I grew up Yinzer, so I know Western PA, and you're in the great city of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Have you ever had a chipped, chopped ham sandwich? It's a real thing.
Chipped? No.
Chipped, chopped ham. So the original, Isley's, okay, Isaly Isley Company, they used to have a million places around. Now it's like Friendly's. They're down to like three or four. However, if you are into what is essentially a grilled ham and cheese, except with tremendously delicious chip chopped ham, may I suggest you go to East Ohio Street in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Make sure your wallet's in your front pocket and go to Isley Company for a chip chopped ham sandwich. And I promise you, I've not led you astray. It is one of the more delicious Western Pennsylvania delicacies that you can have. And I just wanted to give you like a real tip and not send you on a wild goose chase for my own entertainment like others have with you before.
Yes, and as you know, and I love the pig. I'm just letting you know now.
Oh yeah,
so I will.
You did on swine.
Check it out. But given how I've gotten burned before, just from this 10-2 period, I'll probably look it up and just make sure that it is open.
There's only three locations left, and there might be one closer to where you're staying. And you can always, is Bob Walk still doing stuff down there? The old pitcher. I'm going to put you on the spot on that, but if you bump into old Bob Walk, he can probably clue you in from back in the Leland days. And
all right.
I think he's still around. I don't know.
So I just checked up the picture of it, Lou.
Isley's looks like the kind of place where if you go to the one on East Ohio, it's the kind of place that looks like you're going to get a good sandwich.
Yeah. Isley's chip ham, as good as I remember.
Telling you.
I'm going to plug it in. I'm plugging it in as soon as I get off the air, and I will find it.
I love
a good hand sandwich.
Yeah, I'm just and you can definitely thank me later.
And
it's great.
And Lou, just before you go, do you know what a furry is?
Oh Lord,
is that someone that dresses up as an animal?
Yes. We have a. I want you to tune back in. Okay, I know you got things to do at 1:30.
Okay.
You got a lot of things to do, a lot of errands to run. You and Will, buddies for life. Okay, you got your new sandwich now.
Me and Joe on this trip.
Oh, it's just you and Joe?
No.
Oh, okay. So maybe you won't be out and about as much.
Who's going to get stuff off the high shelf?
Listen at 1:30. Yeah. You're going to appreciate this one. And 12:45.
Right. I will.
You get to meet Strudel the Furry, Lou.
Can I say something to Lou? This chip chop ham looks awful.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
It looks terrible.
Bridget, I'm telling you, it isn't.
Awful?
No. It looks, Google it, Lou.
I will. You know what? I will Google it. I will check
like
it out.
Astronaut food or something. I don't know.
Oh, no. It is delicious.
I've seen a lot of
prison
stuff on
food,
this
maybe?
Now.
It's delicious, swiney substance.
Food.
Listen, if this sandwich sucks, like I'm done with both of you.
Okay,
like, just don't tell me where
totally
to go anywhere.
Totally fine. Listen, I understand that Fourier has tainted the pool and potentially ruined this, and I'm just trying to save it.
I think Bridget did us the best solid because she's downplaying it right now. She's comparing it to prison food. Now we got a chance.
At one point in time, I was almost 400 pounds. I think you would take the taste buds of a Largo, then.
But that means that you would progress. That means like you would basically eat anything back then.
No,
like
no.
Anything.
No taste buds, Lou.
No,
right.
No. Everyone knows I'm the pickiest eater. I ate
now.
Five. No. Even before, I ate five things, just a lot of it. And chip chopped ham.
Am I supposed to believe that when you weighed 400 pounds, you were a picky eater?
Lou, it is documented on record on this radio station that I am like one of the pickiest eaters going. I don't like soup.
Soup. That's the one thing you go to, soup.
No, but there's a hell of a lot more. Anyway, Lou, thank you, buddy.
Lou.
Have fun down there.
Send those photos.
All right, we'll see you. I could have sent Lou to Max and Irma's for ribs, but everybody does that. Look at that on their deep. It's just a ham sandwich. No, but what they do is, though.
I thought it would be grilled up.
That picture is giving it too much justice right now.
It looks like Arby's.
Yeah, you don't want it on a bun. I'm telling you.
You want it with your hands?
No. It's in like a grilled cheese looking thing.
Grilled cheese with ham.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just telling you.
It's a grilled cheese sandwich.
And I'm a very picky eater. Very picky.
The pickiest eater.
I am.
If somebody asked me who is the pickiest eater, Andy Gresh.
Yeah, it's not, and I admit it. Like, I became a Largo while eating just mass quantities of the really bad stuff.
All right.
You know this. I don't eat nothing around you on the whole.
No nachos, no cheese.
Oh, nachos, just barf
nachos.
On
no
chips.
No cheeseburgers.
Seriously. Like, Bridget is denigrating the great chip chopped ham, yet if we brought in, like, a taco nachos or whatever, everybody would be in here like they're about to go to the electric chair to get some.
Yep.
It's gross.
And?
Again, it's gross.
Thank you, Bridget, for bringing up the fact that it looked like prison food.
I was going to say cat food. Some of the pictures look like cat food.
The pictures are not, very good, They're just not very enticing.
You just got to have one.
Okay. There it is again. See, look, you can go Kevin, to Arby's and get the same sandwich.
Kevin Offroad, 4x4. Only person I know doesn't like nachos. Absurd. There you
Agreed.
Go. Agreed. Here's Bridget ready to trend.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEI, the Red Sox lost to the Guardians 5-4 yesterday afternoon. The Red Sox now sit at 10-10 on the year as they head to Pittsburgh to play the Pirates. Rafael Devers was diagnosed with a bone bruise in his knee after getting imaging done yesterday. He is not expected to go on the IL. Brian Bello will get the start for the Red Sox today opposite the Pirates' Quinn Priester. First pitch with Joe Castiglione and Lou Merlone is at 6:40 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. And don't forget to tune in to the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at 5:40 with Rich Keefe. The Bruins and the Maple Leafs begin their first round matchup tomorrow night. Puck drop at the Garden is at 8 p.m. Johnny Beecher and Mason Loroy were both recalled this morning from Providence and may find their way into the Game 1 lineup. The NBA's play-in tournament wraps up tonight. The Heat play the Bulls at 7 p.m. Jimmy Butler will miss tonight's game with an MCL sprain, and the Celtics await the winner as they start their first-round series on Saturday at 1 p.m. Trending Now is brought to you by Time Out Market. Time Out Market Boston is a food and cultural market near Fenway Park. With 14 unique food concepts, some of New England's top local brews, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Bridget Brew, and that's what's trending now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Six days, 7 hours, man. And 32 minutes.
It's getting real now.
From the draft, we're inside a week, baby. We are
inside
a week.
You know, Rays are, you know, bitching and complaining about answering questions, right, Bridget? About the freaking goalie situation. I mean, you're a goalie. No more bitching and complaining, Razor. But I will say this. I kind of got to a point with the draft, kind of feeling the same way. You kind of go through a high of like, okay, it's here. Let's get prepped. Let's get ready. Then you kind of go from, like, God, geez, I'm ready to go. Like, just, you know, let me get a green light. Let's go. And now I'm back to, okay, back in the starter's blocks, ready to go, ready to just be ready for the unexpected. I feel like, I mean, did you get worn out at all? No?
Ready for the unexpected.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the
like,
unexpected.
That's really going to happen here in New England.
It is.
The unexpected.
What is the unexpected when it comes to the draft?
If they took Marvin Harrison Jr. III, it wouldn't be unexpected. It would be shocking.
Okay, but I'll put it in the unexpected bucket for now.
They've told us from January 15th, essentially, they haven't come out and said it, but they've all but told us The other two teams in front of us will determine who we pick at quarterback.
Okay, so end I remember when Mayo just was like so excited to get the job, talking to the media, and he talked about we're gonna draft the most important person at the most important position.
Yeah.
My thing to you back then, excuse me as I burp.
Thank you, Trent Baalke.
Just let's say that. You have no idea. You have no idea. There's no reputation. There's no resume. Nobody knows what he's going to do. No one can predict it. No one can, you know, draw a line. Okay, this means this because he's never done it before. So him being, saying what he said, how do you trust it?
Because it is there's a long line of history in the NFL of those who, what do? When they get the wheel, it's no different than the 16-year-old the first time they get the car. Eee, can't wait to go out and do whatever.
And
what do?
Crash it.
And they go out and do silly stuff or don't think things through or don't have an organized plan or whatever. That's the only thing. There were two things decided down there when Mayo got the job. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Now we have our new guy in here. And that they're going to take quarterback.
Okay, but they can still take a quarterback just with now he can give Robert Kraft everything he wants. He can give him a quarterback because he wants the quarterback.
Really?
Who, Kraft?
No, I mean, can they really, if they slide down?
Yes, if you think there's six, I think there's probably five. I think there's five.
Well,
I think,
but wait a minute, though. Regardless of what they think of how many, if RKK has not really been following along and only has general awareness and he's going to listen to these guys, then they should be able to sell him on any of the quarterbacks. I just don't think they want to. I don't think there is enough organizational chutzpah for those who just have come into power to look at Thunder and say, I'm literally going to just put my junk right on the table year one. I don't believe it. And it's because of they're young. And now you said, there's no track record. There's no history. Yes, there is. All of the other people who get into the job for the first time and on the whole, screw it up. This might be the group that is in that 20% that maybe don't. But, yeah, I can wipe away all the Belichick stuff where I kind of knew how he was going to react. And I think I can kind of predict how this group is going to react. And from the beginning, it's been, we're on the roller coaster now. And I get to sit in the front. Well, I know it sounds dismissive, but
the worst thing that they can do, the worst thing Elliot Wolf can do, is be afraid to pull the trigger. When you hear him speak yesterday, he's not afraid to pull the trigger. I'll do it. I'll pull the trigger. Go ahead and dare me. You don't think I'll do it? I'll do it. I'll do it. I promise I'll do it. Say it again. Say it one more time.
It's the draft version of, F around and find out, except the difference is you're going, please F around to find out. Please allow me to let you find out. God, can someone give me a bag?
I just don't think that there's this drastic difference between the number two quarterback to the number four quarterback. I don't. There isn't this massive difference. So, and if you're making your choice, if you're okay with the top four guys, and you realize you could get the fourth guy later on and get some assets and get some receivers and get some more help, well, then do it. But I lean towards the fact that they just don't want to gamble this first pick. They don't want to mess around.
Let's make everybody
play with the draft picks.
Let's make everybody happy. That's what this number three pick is as much about drafting a quarterback as it is making people happy. Now, I don't get the sense that there are hellfire and brimstone fans out there that are like, by God, if you don't draft a quarterback at number three, I'm never rooting for this team again. I think for fans, there is split. Like, we just had somebody text in out of the 508. I think the 2021 draft should show Robert, you take the guaranteed superstar in Marvin Harrison Jr. and take a shot at quarterback later on. Because I do think there are a lot of people who are like, Marvin Harrison, he's there. We've needed a number one, that kind of thing. Somebody said unexpected would be tackle at three. That would be
unexpected for me.
It'd be shocking.
Would be okay because I think that, okay. So I think most people probably go, you know, listen. They said that they spoke their truth, you know, early on when Mayo first got the job, mm-hmm. right? That they spoke their truth. Now they're trying to, you know, manipulate it, you know, move it,
put some toothpaste back in the tube a little bit.
Yeah, try to convince people that, no, that's what I'm wearing. And even if you, yeah, we like a lot of different people, we're going to do what's best for the team. I do think, and I'm with Rodney. So if you look at the number three pick and you say, wow, we really like, we need a quarterback, but we don't like any of these guys with the third pick in the draft. So I have two choices. Take somebody else and get another quarterback, or trade out of the third pick and then be willing to gamble with the other guy that you like being available when your turn comes again. And then you because if you look at just the whole exercise of looking what the San Francisco 49ers got when they traded up with the Miami Dolphins, they got three number one picks. Now, they obviously missed on Trey Lance. And it would have torpedoed any other program, but their team was so well built from the get go
yep.
that they were able to withstand it with the guy that was Brock Purdy, who was picked last in the draft. Lucky, I would say nine. Do this same scenario.
Oh, the Bears. Times. If that's the Bears GM, he's fired.
No, and the team sucks, and the owner's just so angry with you. I do think it's going to be tough to deny that trade opportunity. If somebody comes to you with an offer you can't refuse, it's going to be hard for them to turn it down. And then you're going to have your wits about you to convince Robert Kraft that this is what's best for the team. Now, can you do that? I'm like, God, can he do it? Can he say it with his chest?
Oh, look.
Can he chest bump?
No, Robert, I think, wants to believe whatever they're going to sell him. I really do. I think he wants to believe that. Now, really, I guess the bigger question is, say they go to Robert Kraft the night before the draft, and I'm talking about Mayo, Wolf, and the new collective, the new collaborators down there, and they say to Robert Kraft, here's what we're trying to do, here's what we like to do, can we talk you into it? Would Robert Kraft actually say to them, no, you're not trading, you're taking the guy at three? That, to me, is the real question. It's not can they convince him, because I think it's pretty easy. I wonder if Robert Kraft has the gumption to look at them and say, we've never been here before, or when we were, I wasn't running this thing. Here's how I see it. You guys do what you see fit type thing. Because if there's one thing I believe is that Robert Kraft can be convinced of whatever, whether it's whom to pick the quarterback, Knicks, whatever it would be. What I don't know is, would Robert look at them and shut them down if he thinks it's a bad idea? Because right now, there's still the half a degree of separation for Jonathan Kraft down there. So even if he disagrees, well, you know, Thunder can come in and rain down upon everyone if he really wants to.
Well, isn't this, I'm assuming this is all on TV. Thursday, cameras in the draft room. Right.
Well, it's a new era down there. So, yeah, I'm assuming that Patriots Productions might even stream live on YouTube or something.
So you're going to see, because let's just assume that a trade offer comes in while they're on the clock. It can happen just like that.
Right. Who answers the call? Discuss it? Because you got to be ready. You have about 2 minutes to make that decision.
Yeah, and wait, do they give you more time if there's a trade on? They don't, do they?
No, what they will do, I do believe, is if there is a trade, I think there is a resetting of the clock once the trade is agreed upon, but normally by the time you get to that point, you know, the card is kind of in. We can go down that road at least.
There's a great Monty Austin Fort video from, I believe, last year, where it's him working the phones, making all the trades.
I saw that.
It's worth the 2.5 minutes to watch.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating stuff. But didn't we get a little bit of, don't we have the audio of, again, when it was the whole, Belichick just made decisions and didn't collaborate with anybody. Didn't we have going from all the way back to 2021 when they drafted Mac Jones, of Bill Belichick pulling in Matt Groh and Elliott Wolf and saying, are you guys okay with this? So I know the Patriots have sort of pulled back the curtain a little bit. I think the pandemic, Christian, was the one that really sort of got people thinking, hey, we can put this stuff on TV, or we can put it online. It sort of made people realize they can go down that road. 617-779-7937. Zach in the truck on the Pats in the draft. Go ahead, Zach.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Good, what's up?
So, I truly believe that they should take Marvin Harrison Jr. at pick number 3 and draft Michael Penix somehow, or late first round, early second round, due to the fact they signed Michael Wenu for right tackle, so that way it's actually his blind side is the better tackle than Okorafor.
I mean, there's a lot of people, Zach, who definitely have gone down that road of thinking that because there is so much money sunk into right tackle, that you could go with a left-handed quarterback. I think it's as simple as this. And God forbid, I know I have to go back and mention something that Bill Belichick did for 20-some-odd years. But it's real simple with cap math in a lot of ways. You look at your offensive line as a whole. You don't even look at it really in terms of by position. But if you did go by position, I think what it's screaming is that the second-round pick is likely to be a left tackle. And that second-round pick will play for about $800,000. So if you're just looking at your tackle group, they shaved $1 million off of Calvin Anderson's money yesterday. So you saved $1 million there. That pretty much creates the money that you would end up spending for whatever the high second-round pick would be at left tackle. And then it's a simple math equation. I got one tackle up, I got one tackle down. And by the time on when his money is to come down, if the left tackle's worth a damn, his money will be ready to go up. It's real simple in terms of following it, but unfortunately, we get locked into the superstar syndrome. You know, oh, I got one $20 million receiver. Guess what makes it better? Another $20 million receiver type thing. But most teams that manage to cap well kind of play that balancing act a little bit. I mean, I don't think that's a big misstatement or anything.
No,
it's just simple math. And I know it can be that easy to kind of follow the cap in terms of the simple math. It's time for Big Deal, No Big Deal.
Yep.
We got two stories.
He's dead.
We got one about a dead person that almost can't be believed. And another one about flatulence. Big Deal, No Big Deal is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
You got anything to say for yourselves?
We didn't think it was that big a deal.
No big deal.
It's a big deal.
Big deal.
Nothing's a big deal.
It's no big deal.
No big deal.
I don't know how to put this, but kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal in New England right now.
No big deal.
You know what? Actually, I feel like this is no big deal.
Not a big deal. Is that how everyone feels?
Not a big deal, huh?
Big deal. Who cares?
Can't deal with it.
Yeah,
I can't deal with it.
This is a huge deal.
Okay, so before we get to our Weekend at Bernie's clip, okay, like art imitating life or whatever way they want to say it.
Unbelievable.
It is. Is this
that would be life imitating art.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Perfect. Okay, because this is the story that I'm about to say is the most unbelievable story I think I've ever seen in my life. I thought this was fake, too.
Well, it's really art imitating no life when you think about it.
That's true. But before we do that, I'm going to give Zeke just a bit of time so we can put this up on Twitch. Trent Baalke, GM of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay. You be the judge, and then you tell me if this is a big deal or not. Trent Baalke having a press conference, and seems like he broke wind. You tell me.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
Guy farted.
Now, who farted? Was it Trent Baalke or was it the guy asking the question?
No, no, it was him. Why would he say excuse me if it wasn't him? It was totally him, and it was muffled.
Excuse me, go on.
You would only get that by if someone, if the Andy Hart I'm trying to remember the WEEI of Jacksonville, right? What's that, 105, whatever it is, right? Or the, it'd be like if Frank Frangie, their play-by-play guy, was sitting third row. If he ripped in his seat, you wouldn't hear it like that. The only reason you hear that is because the guy near the microphone let out a little tooter scooter.
See, I think this. Here's why I think this is a big deal. This is a big deal to me because I feel like it's happening all the time, and it's mostly it's literally all guys. And I don't know who was the first person to do it, and now it's completely acceptable. Nobody gets freaked out. Nobody giggles. It's not a big deal. Guy doing a press conference. He leans over to his left. One butt cheek is raised from the chair.
Wait a minute.
He kind of.
He didn't and then lean. You're making.
Come on, you telling me you can't hold that in? I mean, what are we doing? It's like it. Do you
what
feel
if
like it's become less?
It's impending intestinal distress.
Kristen, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Were you able to hold it in when you had those tacos? That one time you went on the trip.
No, but
to
I got really sick though. I got sick. I mean, that was well, that's fine, I guess. But no, that I don't think
you think this is a garden variety morning
you know,
egg fart.
I think people are just more comfortable letting it go. It's like, that's what I don't think a guy's sick. He's okay. this is acceptable now. I'm just going to fart while I'm having a press conference.
There was a teacher. That's the best one. There was a teacher that I had at Westerly High School. He was the anatomy teacher. His name was Donald Autry. He was my favorite teacher. You know why, Fourier? Because on the very first day of class, he said, we're going to learn about the body and there are bodily functions. So if you have to let them out in class, I am not going to hold it against you. Oh, my God. It was my favorite class. Are you kidding me? That sounded like the symphony orchestra. Listen, in there at sixth period every day.
Nobody likes a good fart like I do. I giggle every time. All right. So now go to Twitch right now.
But yet you were. It seemed like you were denouncing this Baalke fart.
I feel like it is kind of one of those things where, you know, if you're the CEO, if you're running a program, I do think you kind of need to not be, you know, immature and, you know, frattish. Like,
well, it's,
I'm not
okay
doing that. I appreciate it,
no,
but I'm not running an organization.
But he also didn't do like that guy who like dialed the intercom and then that one and hold it and then and it went all over
the Depot.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, he could have, like, imagine if Baalke turned around and be like, hold on, folks.
I would appreciate
and then, like,
that.
Turned around and just ripped it right into the microphone.
Go full heel. That'd be full heel.
I mean, that would be something.
Okay, so this is the story I've been waiting to share with you.
It's got the walking farts.
Okay.
Has
everybody seen Weekend at Bernie's?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Everybody has seen Weekend at Bernie's. Okay, so on Twitch right now, you will see
this
footage.
Is.
You will see a bank security camera showing a young lady.
I don't know about so young, but
middle-aged
lady.
A lady wheeled in a...
Supposedly, she was the caregiver of this person who the reason we have it mosaiced is because she rolled a dead body in a wheelchair into sign for a loan.
Okay, now here's the part. So she wheels in a dead body trying to trick the bank teller into giving her a $3,400 loan. So, of course, it was her uncle's bank account. And because he's dead, he can't write any checks. So she is literally having a conversation and trying to explain and trying to act like he's just pale, like he's out of it and he's old. Not that he's dead. She says, uncle, are you listening? You need to sign the loan contract. If you don't sign, there's no way because I can't sign for you. Then she proceeds to grab his hand and try to use his dead hand,
yes,
to hold the pen to sign the check.
The unmosaiced version of this where you're actually looking at the dead body, like she's fooling no one. Like right now we're showing the one that is covered up, but the one that isn't that's out there, I mean, this seriously, I cannot believe that there are just people.
They're watching it.
They're like sitting there watching. this woman trying to commit fraud with a dead body.
It is a big deal.
This is disturbing.
I feel like there's needs to be another category for this at all. On one hand, I sit there and go, what made her think that she could, she would be able to convince somebody that this person is just out of it, comatose, old.
Greed.
Generic, right? Greed, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's only $3,400.
I know, that's
a
crazy thing.
It's not $1 million. It's $3,400. So there is actually footage, Gresh, of her taking him out of the car dead. Okay. Now, I would say freshly dead if I don't bug people because there's no rigor mortis or anything like that.
From what I read, I do believe this gentleman had passed away like 2 hours earlier.
Yeah.
And then she wheeled his dead body in trying to get money.
I don't even know what to say. On one hand, I go, wow, you really must have been committed to the bit, committed to getting this money. And how about the teller? Even if the person was alive, and say they were just drugged up and maybe out of it, maybe they're drunk, no teller, no bank manager, and they're good under any circumstances is going to allow this to happen.
Yeah, this.
Oh, yeah, you're drunk. Go ahead and sign over your money. Yeah, I can understand. You understand what you're doing.
I do believe that this lady got cuffed before leaving the bank. I think from what I read, people got hip to this pretty quickly, and this lady got slapped with some charges or whatever.
And one of the other lines that she said, you can't hear it right now because we can't play the audio, she says, quote, to the teller, oh, don't worry. He's like that. He doesn't say anything. Uncle, do you want to go to the hospital again? She's threatening him, having a conversation, trying to trick the teller. Well, obviously, the bank teller called the police. They came in, they grabbed her, and she's in jail. And I'm hopefully her uncle is
hopefully somebody
in a good place.
Hopefully somebody in that family decided to jerk a knot in her tail a little bit, because that is pretty bad.
It is, quite frankly, we've done a lot of crazy things. I've seen the furry story, Strudel, that you'll hear at 1:30.
Strudel 1:30.
I feel like it tops it, though.
Strudel tops this?
Yeah, because I'm living it in real time. I'm seeing it, and my kids are dealing with it in real time.
You got strudel issues?
We do. We have strudel issues. They're popping up all over the place. Strudel here, strudel there. Everybody's got to deal with strudel. It's amazing. I can't even. No, we're just going to have to wait till 1:30. We're going to get serious for 20 minutes. Can we get serious for 20 minutes?
Strudel here, strudel there. Come back for strudel everywhere. Final hour next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.